And if you've got a Bible in front of you or on the screen, if you can turn to Acts chapter 4. We've been going through the book of Acts from the beginning. If you remember last week, we had the reaction to the healing that the apostles had performed. And at the end of the passage last week, the apostles had prayed. They'd asked for God to the powers to be able to continue to proclaim the word, and they would have been filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 31, and they spoke the word boldly. So we pick up the story at Acts 4, verses 32, and we're going to be reading to chapter 5, verse 16. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy person among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, a man called Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God." When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought those who were ill into the streets and laid them on beds and mats, so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing those who were ill and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Let's just pray for Jay as he comes to preach that passage to us. Lord, we thank you for this word. We've sung as a prayer that we would meet you in it. We pray now for your servant Jay. We thank you for him. And we pray, Lord, that he would speak powerfully to us this morning through your Spirit. Amen. Thanks, Jay.
Well, good morning to you. Please do keep your Bibles open This morning, we're going to be spending most of our time in Acts chapter 5, 1 to 16. We'll be in these verses because in chapter 4, verses 32 to 37, it's a very similar account to the passage what John preached recently when we was in chapter 2. So I will refer to chapter 4, but specifically today we'll be in chapter 5 and looking at these events around Ananias and Sapphira. So therefore, let's look at these verses under the three simple headings: what they did, what we are, and who Jesus is. What they did, what they are, and who Jesus is. To help us get into our first point, what they did, can I tell you about a really tragic story at East Finchley Baptist Church? What do I mean? Let me picture the scene. The lockdown restrictions have just been lifted, and there's real excitement as we gather again as East Finchley Baptist Church. It's why during the week there's an elders meeting with Matt, Dan and John. They were determined to capitalise on the excitement. Well, towards the end of the meeting, the elders made a decision to have a collection the following Sunday, so that after furlough scheme ends, is that as a church, we can care for those in need. So, on this following exciting, sunny, sacred Sunday, there's an introduction, there's two songs, a children's talk, then the notices, and then there's the collection where we gather money to use for God's purposes. Well, during the collection, one of the Christians collecting a tithe, let's call him Benjamin. Well, as he reaches out the bag to give to the next candidate, suddenly our Benjamin, he just crashes dead on the floor with a thud. There's cries of anguish amongst the congregation as the elders rush to him, and women such as Grace Olla and Benjamin's wife, with words, it's absolutely impossible for me to paint the picture of how absolutely horrendous this is. However, 10 minutes into the commotion, there's subtle conversations, or better still, let's say, unbelievably or even insensitively, there's an accusation made against our Benjamin that he died because of sin. See, what comes to light is the reason that Benjamin had dropped down dead in front of all of us was because he's been deceitful within the church. See, our Benjamin had been more concerned with how others perceived him within the church than how God perceived him within the church. And therefore, it became clear that his hypocrisy before God had become so bad is that God took his life right there in front of us. See, as I finished telling you the story about the death of Benjamin at East Finchley Baptist Church, a tragic story. You know what I mean, because I've just pictured the scene. My question is, if this actually happened on a Sunday morning, I'm sure, like me, is that all your hearts would sink. But East Finchley Baptist Church, honestly, what would all of you really think? See, to be honest, I, I think that a lot of us would be really shocked. We would think it was so awful, wouldn't we? A life taken like that, so tragically. Benjamin was only a young man in the prime of his life. What would his wife and kids do now? To see, to witness something so shocking, to see a life cut short like that. Just like Uzzah, who was immediately killed in 2 Samuel 6. He only stretched out his arms to stop the ark from falling, but is immediately killed. Surely we say, is that fair, God? Like David in 2 Samuel 6, wouldn't our anger break out against the Lord? See, I doubt that many of us would think that what Benjamin, he deserved to die, sure. Nonetheless, we would be so wrong to come to this conclusion. See, our problem as Christians is we don't think about the church in the same way as that God thinks about the church. Our idea of the Christian life within the church is very different to God's idea of the Christian life within the church. See, just like Benjamin, Ananias and Sapphira, we forget how seriously is that God takes sin. See, the death of Benjamin is extremely sad, and God made the right decision to take his life because of what he did. Let's keep our Benjamin in the background of our talk today. Keeping in mind is that our default position is to minimise sin, but also put God in the dock. God, it's not fair that you've done to Benjamin on a Sunday morning at East Finchley Baptist Church. And look at Ananias and Sapphira and see what they did. Well, as we look at our Bible, and keep the Bibles open and track with me, it's striking, isn't it? Is that up until now, Luke has painted quite a good picture of the church. We continue to see a church which was marked by some really godly traits. And one of them is it's a sacrificial giving church, which is totally exampled in the life of Barnabas. Look with me. He sold his field in the island of Cyprus and lays the proceeds at the apostles' feet for the distribution of the needy. Verses 34 to 37. I love Luke. See, he's so clever. See, he carefully arranges his material in the Bible so we would contrast the life of Ananias and Sapphira with our Barnabas. The couple who sold their property gave a portion of the proceeds to the apostles, and it was only a little fib, and they were struck down dead. Just like our Benjamin, who only made out he gave all of his bonus from the city to the congregation, he was still struck down dead. It was only a little fib. However, the reading of Ananias and Sapphira, if I read it like this, it totally misses the point of the passage. See, it leaves out that the fact that the couple brought death upon themselves was because of deception. Their act wasn't just an act of greediness or lying, but it was collusion and scheming. They both wanted to look holy and generous. They wanted to push up their likes on their social media channels. See, just like Benjamin at East Finchley Baptist Church, they were motivated by a desire of status and recognition, a reputation of being godly. See, when we read this event, we know that it's shocking, but we it's things that you think is shocking because of someone died. But the reality is, it's shocking because just like Ananias and Sapphira, we forget how seriously God takes sin. See, these verses are so helpful for us today because if you're anything like me, then you can be more concerned with how others think about you at East Finchley Baptist Church than you are against how God thinks about you. Similar to the way that they seek approval from their, we seek approval from the congregation, Ananias and Sapphira were seeking approval from this small spirit-filled congregation. See, they wanted an appearance that they were filled by the Holy Spirit. But look at me, verse 3 of chapter 5, it reveals that their hearts were filled with Satan instead. It's such a stark contrast, isn't it, to the spirit-filled community that we see in verse 4. A church of generous fellowship, the sharing of everything with one another. And this generosity, it wasn't compulsory, but it was a reflection of their mutual love as a church. Every single Christian up until this point, there was an ethos of love and generosity. See, this account of Ananias and Sapphira is so important to us because it's about so much more than greed and deceit. Yes, sadly we see it's the first time that Satan gets a foothold within the church, and sadly stories of deceit and abuse is a song that plays over and over and over again within the church. It seems weekly, doesn't it, that we read about and we learn about a scandal of someone who professed their devotion to the church but have sadly lied and been deceptive. See, this account about Ananias and Sapphira, it's not just about them, but it's about me and you. We can all be like them. See, as Christians, we must be honest with assessing our hearts daily, examining our motives, being careful with our words, working through our attitudes to serving, to giving, and even caring. Working out why we project a picture, of ourselves is that we're more consistent than we really are in our Christian lives. Loathing or loving, Donald Trump, he helped to do this, didn't he? He helped to coin the phrase fake news. That is a way of explaining, describing misinformation. See, within our conversations as Christians, can we fall into the danger of fake news? We live our Christian lives like a TV show, determined to get our ratings up, oblivious of God, because we're more concerned with those that are watching on the sofa. See, maybe we do this because we think is that the consequences for our actions, they just won't be severe as Ananias and Sapphira. And it's true, There doesn't seem to be any other record, does there, in the Bibles or through church history of anyone dropping dead on a Sunday morning because of their hypocrisy. But let's not ever think that God doesn't take sin seriously within his church. See, God really cares how we treat the church family, how we treat the church. Why? Because our attitude to church directly reflects our attitude to him. What we see in these verses is a God who demonstrates his passion and purity for the church through the death of Ananias and Sapphira. See, the result is mentioned twice. Look at verse 5 and 11. Great fear seized the church. See, this isn't the fear that you see when someone watches a scary movie. It isn't the fear what you get when someone jumps out and says, boom! See, it's a fear of the acknowledgement of an awesome, majestic, holy God. It's the recognition of how perfect God is and how horrific our sin is to him. It's a respectful, it's a devoted fear. It's a fear that recognises that the earthly gathering of God's people, it really matters to God. He's concerned to protect his church, his people, and indeed his reputation. Hypocrisy, deceit within the church, it really matters to God. Do you know those times where someone does something silly or stupid? Well, you know, you look at them and go, that's really silly. Well, the silly thing is about this account is they didn't have to sell their property, did they? And they didn't even have to give all the proceeds to the church. What does Peter say? Then Peter said to Ananias, how is it that Satan has filled your hearts that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you have received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before you sold it? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? Silly, isn't it? Why did they do it? I'm sure it was because of deceit, but why? See, I think the problem is the same problem is that what we fall into. I think they forgot about to who they were. I'm aware that there is so much uncertainty of whether Ananias and Sapphira were New Testament believers. Were they Christians? The Bible isn't really clear on that. Please do your homework. But I think that they were Christians. Look at me, verse 3. The Apostle Peter, he was astounded by Ananias' reactions, his actions, what he does. Then in verse 9, again he expresses the same surprise to his wife, willingness to conspire with her husband. See, if they had been unbelievers, there would be no reason that they'd be surprised for the selfish and sinful, deceitful actions. There would be less reason to be surprised of how they'd lied to the Holy Spirit or been manipulated by Satan. See, I think they were believers and certainly manipulated by Satan, but also they wasn't living out their identity as New Testament believers. in a similar way that often we don't live out our identity as New Testament believers. We forget, don't we, what Paul said to us when he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are what? A new creation. The old is gone and the new is here. We are a new creation. So we need to live out the who we are and stop going back to the who we was. We can so easily forget the who we are because we don't focus and remember the who he is. See, we have looked at what Ananias and Sapphira did, their deceit and pride. We have seen what we are. We are different to them. We must remember that our new identity is in Christ. And now I suppose it is appropriate to look at the Lord Jesus Christ, who is full of grace, to who he is. See, Jesus can be described in so many glorious ways, but in a way he is indescribable and just so hard to describe. However, if you have tasted that the Lord is good, you would know that he's a gracious king. He's a kind king. He's a loving king. He's a king that deserves our obedience and our adoration. He's also Lord. He's not a selfish Lord, but a self-giving Lord. He's not a mean Lord, he's a patient Lord. The Bible tells us he's also, what is he? He's also a saviour. He's not a boastful saviour, but a humble saviour. He's a kinder saviour, what deserves our gratitude and our love. He's not a fireman or a policeman or a soldier who rescues us because of honour or because of his job. He rescues us. Why? Because he's love and he loves us. And listen really carefully. Let me slow down here. See, exactly like Ananias and Sapphira, all of us, me included, we will blow it and we will get it wrong. And yes, God does judge us, meaning he brings loving discipline on us, correction, and sometimes, rightly, it's sternly. And it's true that, praise God, guess what, brothers and sisters? Our sins has been forgiven in the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel. But guess what? There's still consequences for our actions. And we shouldn't be complacent like with our sin, just like dear Benjamin. And it's clear that this account in the Bible is recorded as a lesson for all of us. God does judge and he does judge sin. But we know, don't we, that the Bible says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just, and he will forgive our sins and he will cleanse us, purify us from all unrighteousness. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly why the consequences were so severe for Ananias and Sapphira. It doesn't. It's silent. However, the Bible isn't silent in letting us know that the Lord Jesus Christ, he won the victory for us on the cross at Calvary when he conquered sin, triumphed over death, and appeased God's good judgment on our behalf. Jesus has done the work for us on the cross. And we have received the Holy Spirit, where it helps us, guess what? To live out to who we are as Christians. Praise God, we see, don't we, is that despite their sin, is that the church still grew and flourished. As I finish, can I cheekily, if you're here today or listening, if you're not a Christian, you just know in your own heart, as you hear the word preached week by week, you just know. Or it may be that you're just not sure if you're a Christian. Or, in fact, you may be a Christian that you love the Lord and you rejoice in Him, but you're not just sure, am I growing? Am I maturing as a Christian? As I sit here and listen week by week as we track through Acts, how do I know that God is speaking to me, changing me, shaping me? But one of the ways that you can find out is to ask yourself, when I hear the Bible preached, when I read it, when I hear the Christian message, guess what? Does it offend me? Does it rub me up the wrong way? Does it unsettle me? Do I see Ananias and Sapphira in my own life? Does it at times just feel like me? See, everyone who comes to understand the Christian message is at some point offended by it. See, the Christian message is meant to challenge us, shape us. It's meant to convict us. It's meant to challenge the who we are. See, if you haven't felt the offence of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you may have not really grasped the implications of the wonderful message of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, to really work out who you are, and to really understand where you stand before God, then you've got to wrestle with it. You've got to struggle with it. You've got to be burdened with it, so that you truly know who you are. And as Christians, as we wrestle and pray with this wonderful message, we get to learn and know day by day, week by week, year by year, more, 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 the Lord Jesus Christ, because of gloriously who He is. Let's pray. Father God, we praise You for You. We praise You for Jesus and gloriously who He is. And Father, we thank You for this account in the Bible. We thank You for the warning it is, that You take sin seriously, our holy and majestic God. And Father God, we pray that we wouldn't take our sin lightly. Father, we pray, Father, we wouldn't be naive, to think that we could not see ourselves often or even sometimes in the life of Sapphira and Ananias. And Father, we thank You, for Your grace, that by Your Spirit and by Jesus making us more like Him, Father, we are more and more becoming the church, the people that You desire to be. So, Father, we do commit ourselves to You. We thank You for East Finchley Baptist Church. We pray, Father, that by Your grace, that You would knit us together more and more by honesty and love, sacrificial care and giving and commitment. help our motives to be shaped by truth and the gospel, we pray. Amen.